And this is the final chance to have a chat with David. Question from Melissa Bloom said, I had the privilege of watching you in Much Ado About Nothing from the front row. You were brilliant.
Oh, thanks very much.
After Hamlet and now Richard, the she says third. It is the second.
It is the second.
You have a particular love. Do you have a particular love of Shakespeare?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
What is the appeal for you? What's the appeal and what are the challenges?
I think it's something. Well, obviously the scripts are quite good. You get some quite nice dialogue to see, and that's quite appealing.
Isn't it hard to learn?
No, not really. Well, I mean, it is, as much as anything's hard to learn, but of course, you have to learn it very specifically, because you can't really improvise around the theme, not really. So that can be tricky, but if it's in verse, there's something about the rhythm of it that can make it perhaps easier to learn.
Mm.
I suppose there's something about the fact that they're kind of like the Olympic events for actors, aren't they, these parts? Mm. That they've been done down the centuries, and you're slightly setting yourself up against the ghosts of the past, which is very intimidating, but it's also quite thrilling and feels like quite a challenge.
You just like challenging yourself, don't you? Everything you do is like you just... I guess you've got to progress though, haven't you?
You want to keep pushing yourself. You know, of course, you're always dicing with the fact that you might overreach yourself a bit and it might all come tumbling down, at which point I suppose you retreat quickly. But...
Of course, Nativity 2 is coming out this year.
On DVD,
second
now.
I've seen it on sides of buses, I think. We loved that. I took my family to see it last year.
Yeah, it was great fun. It was really good fun.
I bet it was good to do.
It was really good to do. It's just there's very little that's made for that kind of family audience, actually. Mm. That's made for everyone in the family to kind of go and have...
Yeah.
And just enjoy themselves. It's big populist stuff. It's slightly sneered at, I think, in this country. So it's nice to be involved in something like that now and again. Mm.
And going back to the Shakespeare, you did the one where it was broadcast live on...
We did. Yes, it gets broadcast live. We are doing it on stage like we do every other night, and it's beamed to cinemas across the world, actually.
Mm. No pressure then.
No, it's terrifying. Terrifying. God. Terrifying. Never want to have to do that again. I mean, I'm delighted that it happened. I'm delighted that it went out there and that people saw it across the country, and that they will be seeing it around the world as screenings even still to be scheduled. Mm. But, it's terrifying. Because every night on stage is a bit terrifying, but at least you kind of think, well, if I get this wrong, I'll get it right tomorrow night. But that time you're thinking, well, this performance will still exist in 40 years' time. This people will look at this in schools and go, oh, why did he do it that way? And oh, he missed his lines up there. So suddenly the pressure descends. Yeah,
cannot imagine. How did it go? Were there any mess ups?
There were a couple of tiny little lines that got slightly improvised around. But then if it was too perfect, then it wouldn't look like a live event. And the whole point is, we were doing it live from the stage as it was that night. There was no sense that we were creating it for the camera. You were just another audience member in the Royal Shakespeare Theatre that night. That was the idea, so it couldn't be too perfect.
And it was great that it was. It went out to schools as well.
Yeah, 2 days later we did a big schools broadcast, and myself and the director did a kind of live link up around the schools, doing a kind of Q&A.
Really important. Melissa also asks, did you have any input into the Doctor Who episode, The Shakespearean Code?
Oh no, in terms of the script, I never really had any input into any of them. The writers were too good. I just got the script and sort of did my stuff. Plus, was that an input on one level?
But I enjoyed it very much.
Oh yeah, had a great time. Yeah, and we filmed in the actual Globe, which I think back then was the first time anyone had been allowed to do that. It's happened quite a few times since, but it was very exciting.
Okay, and final question from Anna Kate Dawson, who says, "Did you get to keep anything, or did you steal anything from the Doctor Who sets, like a sonic screwdriver?
I would steal anything.
What did you steal?
I didn't. I don't think I did steal anything. I have things that I was given." Like my costume, or a version of sort of one each of my costumes, and a sonic screwdriver. But I was given them. But I believe there was only two original sonic screwdrivers, one of which I've got, the other which has gone missing.
Ooh.
Because when I came back to do the 50th, I got a sort of replica thing, which was the wrong colour and all sorts.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Shoddy.
I'm sure there'll be websites pointing that out by now. So they didn't ask me to bring on... They asked me to bring on along my costume, but my sonic screwdriver stayed in a very secure location.
When Doctor Who goes out, is there anyone... Because I know your son's of a certain age. Is Doctor Who going out on a Saturday night? Do you watch it still when Matt's doing it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we do. It's a family routine.
But do you watch it and just go, oh, like you must watch it with a critical eye. Oh, I wouldn't have done that. Oh, what are they doing?
Not critical so much. It certainly, immediately after I left, it was a bit raw. Mm. I mean, it was very exciting, and I always thought Matt was great. I could, you know, I could be objective enough to know that it was good and exciting, but it's taken a couple of years to get sort of thrilled about it again, to get like a kid about it again, just because it's too close and it means sort of...
Did you go through a period of mourning afterwards? Did you feel slightly bereft?
Not mourning, I don't think. It's just that thing of going, what, you mean it carries on without me? Really? but then, you know, Matt's very performance sort of won me over, I suppose. And now, yes, it's genuinely exciting.
Okay, and the future for you, what's happening? We've got Christmas to get through, which will be lovely because you've got a bundle of... You've got a big family.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, but lots... Christmas will be very good fun. And I'm doing the play around about that time as well. So we're still doing Richard II until the end of January.
And that's at the Barbican, isn't it?
And that's at the Barbican, yes. And then I'll be off stateside to do Grace Point.
Taking the family.
We'll be working around schools and things, so we'll be sort of back and forth a bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then that's it? You must be talking about other stuff.
And then that's it. Then that's the end of my career. Then it's all over. You'll never see me again, Joe.
Well,
that's it.
There'll be a place at Radio 2 for you, obviously.
I'd love a job on Radio 2.
You don't need any qualifications, nothing at all. It's just it's the easiest thing in the world.
You don't make it look easy, Joe.
With the amount of errors I've made tonight, no. Let's play a final choice of yours then.
Well, if you're going to ask me to choose music on the radio, I'm always going to choose a Proclaimers track.
Okay.
And it's nice. This is a nice sort of, as we head into the evening, this is the Proclaimers and Sunshine and Leith, one of their very best.
David Tennant, thank you.
Thank you.